just listen to music all day today.
It's Music Wednesday.
How are you guys?
Jumping and jiving. Shake, rattle, and rolling.
Yes, I feel the same way.
All the good things. Very cool. Oh, my gosh, it's beautiful here in Eastern Ontario. Friends in the chat, hope it's good where you are. Looks like nobody's complaining anyway about rain. That's always a good thing.
We have complainers? What?
Well, no, sometimes people point out that it's not great for weather. They're not necessarily complaining.
It's idiotic, everybody, and we are here for another fantastic... What do we call this? Yes, I believe it's a drinking draw, because there's that guy sitting over there. Who is that, Chris?
Why, that's the magnanimous Kevin Thorne joining us for another grand episode of Drink and Draw. Draw. Kevin, there may actually be some people who are new to Idiotic and have never met you before here. Give us your 30-second bio and tell us a little bit about yourself.
30-second bio. Born and raised in the north in Chicago. I see some friends in the north. Ran away and joined the army at 19. Celebrating retirement. Left military, went into IT, thinking that was my next career. Ended up in the training department at some point. Went back to school, got my degree in IT, thinking that was my career. And then spent about a decade in corporate and thought, you know, I think I could have more fun by myself. So I started my own business in 10 years ago. And Nuggethead Studios was born. And now I draw, play Legos, build e-learning, and visit some cool friends drinking coffee.
It's a dream life, isn't it?
Dream come barefoot. True. Say cheese.
Cheese?
Oh, I forgot to cheese myself.
Oh. I didn't know what you were doing. I thought maybe Murphy had joined you and you wanted to share a cute picture of Murphy. Yeah.
I don't know. I was working on something. It's one of those mornings, folks. I hope everybody's doing okay.
And we're all over the map.
Joe smiled and said cheese when you said that.
Nice. So on our Drink and Draw episodes, Kevin, you've always brought something to the table to teach us a little bit of something about visual design, free up our own creativity, get our own pencils and pens in motion.
Yeah.
What are we up to today?
Today, I thought we'd kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about perspective drawing. What does that mean? And how do you do it? It's lines and dots, but there's a mechanics and a little bit of, not really math, but a little bit of geometry involved. So I thought I'd share how to do some simple 1-point, 2-point perspective and how to add perspective shadows to your objects.
Very cool. So by the end of today's time, we'll all be like amateur MC Eschers.
Yeah, right? the impossible square.
Brent Googles MC Escher.
No, that would not be a bad, that might be a fun thing to do, like the impossible triangle, the impossible square, draw that next time.
Is he that guy? Okay, now I know.
Yeah.
I'm so uncultured. Yes, and well, when you first pitched this idea to me, I remember thinking, how could we as designing professionals use perspective in what we do? And the thing that really struck me as a great place for it, not only is in our character drawing that you've already taught us several times, but using perspective to create backgrounds and things like that. The things that you're going to put those characters, those locations that you're going to put those characters into, so that it's just not so one-dimensional.
Well, not only that, but when you're compositing a background with multiple different photographs, having a basic understanding of perspective, then you can take a background and a photo of a building and mix them together. But understanding where the horizon line is and how the angles of that particular photo match up to where it looks natural. So whether you actually draw your own backgrounds, but just having a good understanding of perspective comes in handy when you're doing composites and layouts and different things with your photos and background. So we'll see. Never done this before, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, I've done it before.
So we're going to spend
Kevin Google's perspective.
We're going to spend the next 40 minutes sharing YouTube videos. Well, here's a good one I found. Let's all watch this one.
Goodness. I apologize for the coughing. I mentioned to Brent and Chris this morning that I've already been to the clinic and was on the verge of pneumonia, so they've juiced me up with some meds this morning. So I have a little bit of a dry cough, so I apologize if I keep turning my head. I'll just stop talking, then I won't have to cough.
There you go. A nice hot cup of coffee probably helped that, or maybe a little tea with honey and lemon, I believe was my grandma's remedy for everything.
Yeah, I wore out 2 full lemons over the weekend.
There you go. All right, do you remember how to share the screen?
I do, and I think I'm ready.
I don't.
Let's see. Goodness. Let me put that right there. You're going to see a mess of a screen. I'm going to bring in my iPad. If you want to draw along, if you want to play along, just get a piece of paper and a pencil. And if you have a ruler would be really handy. If you don't have anything like that and you happen to have an iPad with Procreate, that's what I'm using. And I'll show you a couple little. So I've got a blank screen right here. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to this wrench tool. And there's a couple things. In preferences, you'll see the blue toggle highlighted up there at the top. And then I'm going to come down to gesture controls. And then you see on the right where the quick shape is highlighted. And then over to the right, you see draw and hold. Draw and hold to make a shape from that stroke. And I'll demonstrate what that means, but you see how it's turned on and it's got about a 3.5 second delay, 0.34. That doesn't really matter, but I'm going to do that. And then I'll come back to that and explain to you what that means in a minute. Next thing, I'm going to go back to that wrench tool. This time I'm going to go to Canvas and I'm going to tap on drawing guide and then edit the drawing guide. And I'm going to change this to 50 pixels. And then I like this sort of architectural light blue color over here. You can change the color of your grid like this. And I'm going to put it right about there. And then you've got the opacity. If you want it really thick, dark, we'll just kind of move it in right about there. That looks good. I'm going to start there. And then it doesn't matter what brush you use. I'm just going to use a 6B pencil, and you'll see I've got a black color here. We'll use maybe a more of a gray charcoal color like that. Okay. Now, when I mentioned the drawing guide and also the draw and hold. So when you draw a line, if you're not like me with a lot of coffee, I get shaky. So when you draw a line, you see how it can't really get a straight line. Well, in this case, because we're drawing perspectives, we need ruler lines. So this tool is really handy. I can just draw a line and then hold, and now it's a straight line, and then I can line it up with my grid as I need it. So it doesn't matter if you go really wonky. There's your curve. If I want to draw a circle and then hold, and it makes a good circle.
Oh, that is cool.
So if I do a triangle, hold it, and then it locks it in as a triangle. So it's really handy. It's a really good tool to, you know, if you're bouncing around. Anyway, so that's where we're going to start. The first thing we're going to do is draw a horizon line. So just think about if you out in the country, you're looking out over the ocean, there's a line that your eyes hit, and that's it. That's the horizon line. So we're going to go ahead and draw a horizon line just a little bit above center. So I'm going to draw it across here, lock it in, and draw my horizon line like that. And then I'm going to change this color just for this demonstration purposes. I'm going to put a couple of what we call vanishing points So I'm just going to put a dot right here on this cross. So that grid, I'm going to put one way over here on this side too. We're doing what's called, we'll do 1 point and 2 point. I want 2 points right now, like so. And just for demonstration, we'll call this vanishing point. If I can spell correctly this morning. This is two. And I'm going to cheat and grab a hold of that, copy it. The first time you copy, there's something with this tool. The first time you copy, it won't paste. You got to do it twice. And then I'm going to drag this one over here. And this is vanishing point one. Let's change this out right here. And finally, when you copy in Procreate and paste, what it does is it pastes a second layer. So I'm going to go ahead and merge that down so we're back to one layer. So there's my two vanishing points and my horizon line. Now, we're going to draw a box, and then that box we're going to make perspective. We'll do a 1 point perspective first. So I'm going to kind of go in this area here. And go back to my charcoal color. And I'm going to add another layer so I can keep my guidelines separate from my drawing, because when I'm done, I want to hide all the guidelines and I just want the drawing. So I'm going to add another layer. And then we're just going to draw a box. So it doesn't matter what size box. And you see how I'm drawing and then kind of pausing a little bit to get that straight line. And these are just sketch lines. So you come back in and finish it up with, you know, darker lines and color and all that. These are just your drawing lines. Okay. So we have to think about, this is your vanishing point. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our pen over here on this red dot. You can't really see. Let me get this mouse pointer out of the way. I'm going to start over here and I'm going to draw to the first point. And then what we're doing is we're drawing each one to each one of these points. Now, at this point, how deep or how long do you want your building to be, or your block or your object? We're just going to cut it off about right here. And easy. So you see, I don't know, you see right here where it crosses that line, the horizontal. Let me kind of zoom in. You see where this line crosses over the horizontal line? That's easy to keep. I want to say perspective, but it's evil. Can you see the grid lines? It's hard to see on my screen. Can you see them? Okay,
they're a little faded. I think you picked too light blue of a blue. Yeah,
I just noticed that. Let me go in there.
Yes, was the word you're looking for parallel?
There we go. Yeah, how about that? Does that look better? Parallel, perpendicular. Yeah, there you go. Good terms. So we could do one of two things. We could go right here and come down, but then we have to go this way and kind of line up that horizontal line, right? Mm-hmm. Or because we can take advantage of this, where I just line it up, I could do the same thing, but I got to line it up perpendicular, parallel to that whole, that. So either way, one of them, you got to eyeball. The other one, you can use the line on it. Whoop. You can use the grid line. So we just line those two up like so. And then just kind of come in here and get rid of what you don't need. Like so. And because my horizon line is on a different layer, I can just just cut all this out here, like so. There you go. You have a perspective on that horizon line. So it changes the higher the higher you are, or the closer you are to the horizon line. So think of distance. So if I wanted to do another one a little higher, but it's in the background, it's farther back in the background. So you just think of size. And we don't have time today to really talk about how do I know this second block is proportionate to the first one based on that scenery. It doesn't really matter, because if you're doing it for custom, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is just getting the perspectives down. And look at that second line. It's almost the same as that top horizontal line. There we go. And then we're going to cut this one off right about here. And I almost can't tell. My pencil's a little thick on this one, but. And then we're going to take all this out. We don't need
any
lines.
Thinner, and we probably wouldn't be able to see it. So yeah. I think you're fine.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we'll get rid of those. Like so. Fun stuff. You can do this. I mean, it's actually kind of therapeutic, just kind of building blocks.
So yeah. What happens though, when you don't, like, you don't want that particular perspective, meaning like the vanishing point is maybe off the page or something like that? How do you account for that?
You need a bigger piece of paper.
And I figured that's what you were going to say.
No, I'm serious. I've done that before where you have not extra people, but you would, like, on my drawing table, I would have my working sheet. Like, let me show you kind of like, let's just kind of do a quick. So let's say this is my drawing table and here's the sheet I'm working on. I might have a piece of paper taped in these corners. And my my horizon line might be right here, but then I would have a dot here and a dot here. So I would use my ruler, and then my line would come onto my paper this way.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. I kind of knew that was the answer, but then my next follow-up question would be, how do you decide where you want that horizon line to be and that perspective? Does that just come from doing this over and over again and seeing what it looks like and then just kind of knowing how to eyeball it?
Yeah, you just have a general sense of what you're wanting to create. Most of the time when you sit down in front of a blank piece of paper, you're just like, okay, this is what my idea I'm thinking about. Or you have a reference photo that you're trying to recreate. So you already have a general idea where your horizon line is.
And do you think about it still these days as a guy that sketches and draws and all this kind of stuff all the time? Do you, when you're just kind of whipping something out, like a storyboard or something, do you get this specific with your horizon or your vanishing points?
Yeah. If I'm doing a finished, if my initial sketch is probably a rough sketch, no, I'm not. I'm just kind of eyeballing it just to get sort of a composition, laid out. But then usually a drawing is there's 4 to 5 drawings in a drawing. You start out with a rough sketch just to get a general idea. And then you clean up those lines and then you refine them again. And then you go to final, and then you go ink and color. So there's a process through it, but you don't start out making the final drawing on the first time your pencil hits the paper, because you've got to move things around. It's kind of a living document because things change as you start, start going different things. Because, like, you know, this might be the building, or this might be the general block of the building as a rough sketch. And then my next sketch, I'll change the color here real quick. My next sketch might be something like where I want to put a door in, right? And, you know, a little crown over the door. So I'm sketching in ideas what this might look like.
Right.
And I might want to put a roof on it. Right. So I'm building it out. And then this line, same thing, this line would come up like this. So I have to keep that roof line perspective going. This might come down a little bit like this. So this is sort of the refine. So I'm starting to refine the idea of what it might look like. And then that sketch would then turn into another one where I would come in and let's grab a different color like this. And then now I would come in and draw the full outline, right? And I would only draw what you see, not the, you know, I would see, this is where I wouldn't have to do any erasing. I would just keep adding layers and I would only draw over what I need, like so. And then maybe there's a little attic window up here.
So you can use a box shape, for example, like put that in there with the right vanishing point, get all your perspectives right, but then just use that box as a framework to build or draw whatever it is you're trying to draw kind of inside or around that box. And then, you know, your perspective is at least going to be pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, you're just getting guidelines, right? That's really all it's about.
Chris, you probably use this all the time, right?
I'm a master of the vanishing point.
Okay. Let's do 2 points. I'm going to take all this out. It's gone. Okay, let's do a 2 point. Now, 2 point, as opposed to isometric. You ever heard of that before, isometric?
Yes. I was a big fan of isometric games back in the day. Yeah. I actually tried to build one in Director.
Yeah, so.
Way back when.
So just for a recap, isometric is you have a center line and then there is no perspective. Everything follows the same. There's no perspective. So this one would, you know, kind of go up this way.
Who in the chat can name some games that you play either on your mobile phone or that you've played in the past that were done in isometric?
So that's isometric. No perspective at all.
But yet it still looks three-dimensional and has
it's three-dimensional.
Pseudo-depth to it, right?
So we want to follow that a little bit. What we want to do is use that vertical line. So we're going to kind of just draw a vertical line right about here, I guess is good. Now, from this vertical line, I want to draw these 2 points from here. I'm changing my paper around because the way I pull my pencil. So I've got those two. Now I'm going to do the same thing on the other side.
Do you want me to send your wife a message and tell her you're live online?
All right. I mean, come on. It's supposed to be working. let's see. Let me check, see what she's saying.
Everybody say hi, Tammy.
I'm gonna text her. I'm gonna say that. Hang on. Everybody say hi.
Sorry, excuse us while we take a brief interlude. it's the beauty of live streaming.
This is funny. I want to wait. I'm curious to what her response would be. Brent and Chris says hi. Brent and Chris and everyone says hi. Your texts are appearing on screen live right now.
You're giving us new.
I was doing early in the days of virtual training, I was doing a webinar or a training where, and a text came up and she was shopping for me. She was out just doing errands and stuff. And this text came and says, what size underwear do you wear? And I couldn't move enough. To get that off the screen, I was trying to ignore it without drawing attention to it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, how many people just saw that? Okay. All right. So we got two perspective lines. We got our center line and we've got perspectives to each of our vanishing points. So now we draw those vertical lines. And again, it just depends on the building or the object you're trying to build. So just whatever you want it to look like. Now we've got these two extra points. Now we got this one and this one that we have to go opposite. So this one's going that way, and this one's going that way. So we'll go back to our vanishing point, come back this way, because we need the top of this box, and then from this one over there. Now, once we have our box or our object or our building or whatever we're trying to do here, then we, you know, kind of clean up. Again, this is just a rough, because I would come back in later with, you know, ink or something like that and draw these lines up real nice. I like 2-point because it gives it more depth than 1-point.
But you still end up with a box.
Yeah, but it's 2-point perspective. It's got a little bit more. See, no, notice that we don't have a flat line down here in the front like we did our previous one.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Gotcha.
Right. Because we had 1-point, which it was going this way, right?
Yeah.
So the problem with that is if I wanted to do this on the same, that doesn't look right.
Gotcha. Right?
It yep. could, but you have a center line, the center of your drawing, and then everything perspectively goes away from that center line. So you can do something like that where you've got, I mean, there's no limit to what you can do. It's just about, well, practice, right?
So yeah. Is this how character drawers and comic book animators do the, like the superhero flying at you and the really big fist yeah. to make it look like they're coming right at you. Yeah. You know, the fist is drawn like 2 times the size of their head and their feet look really tiny in the back and it looks normal. But then when you think about it, you're like, wow, he had to draw tiny feet and a really big hand.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, so if we have, you know, like that's the fist, right? And then the head would be here, right? So you block, same thing. They block it in. This is blocking. So you have the body and you block in the leg, you know, whatever. And then there's another arm back here and you block in a little fist like that. So it's still, you're blocking. It's what it's called, right? You block in. So that would be the first rough sketch. And then you would come in later and you would, you know, add the fist. You got the thumb coming around there and the knuckles and, you know, then the forearm and the muscles and, you know, this is just, you know, it's called broad, and then you refine that sketch, right? I'm doing a really bad job at this, but you kind of get the idea, right?
I was just going to say, that's pretty awesome for just whipping that thing out. Who else can do that really fast and show us?
So it's, yeah, so it... Perspective drawing is the fundamentals of drawing, right? So you understand perspective, then it doesn't matter what your object is because you're using that same vanishing point or 2 vanishing points. So getting that rough, getting that blocked in, and then you can, you see, and then you come back with more pencils and you refine a little more and you refine it more and you put more layers until you get down to those final inks. And once you have those final inks, then you come back and color it all in and finish it up. So. All right. How much time we got? Oh, we got lots of time.
Oh, yeah, we're good. We don't go right till the top of the hour in case you forgot. We like to end at about quarter till-ish or so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, 9:45.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And while you're moving on to the next thing, I was going to ask everybody, how would you use drawing perspectives just in the chat in your work as an instructional designer? Just to get kind of a baseline to see.
Well, that would be sort of a challenging question, you know, like I'm working on this project. How would I do, what would be an example, you know, scenarios? Yeah, exactly. So if you had to do background scenarios, I'm going to take, let's do it real quick. And I'm going to, Jill, I'm going to use your example of scenarios real quick. excuse me. I'm going to cut that out. So let's say I need an office background. Okay. And instead, what we're going to do is we're going to change this to a 1-point perspective, and we're going to go right down the middle. So we're going to put a dot right here in the middle. Come on, let go. Put a dot right here in the middle. Okay, you with me? Now we'll go back to our...
That's about as far as I could go, probably.
All right, so we need the back wall. First thing is we need a back wall. So we're going to put in a line here and a line there. This is the ceiling, and this is the floor. Okay, so there's our back wall. Now, we want to draw the rest of this room, so we come off of this center line. Off, we just go off page here, and we just draw that center line and cut that. Something like that. And then our walls, side walls, put one right here. And I'm not counting, so I'm not really, let's see, it goes up to right there.
You had me lost there for a minute, and now I'm tracking with you.
So now we got all this in, right? Now let's get rid of the lines we don't need. Ignore the horizon line for now. So we get rid of these lines here, and whoops, I want to erase my dot like this. If I hide that other layer now in the background, then we get rid of these lines. So now I have my room, you see? And now if I need something else, let's say I needed, let's put a projector on the screen in the background here. Now we need a table. So the table, the back of the table, about right there. Like that. Now we get rid of these lines. And this line here. Now you see the table coming in. And now we can put, you know, chairs. Little hoops right here.
Starting to look like a boardroom.
Yep. All right. Another whiteboard over here, maybe. Put another whiteboard over here. You know, maybe we got a plant in the corner over here. Like that. And then maybe we got a, I don't know, one of those, what do you call it? Like goofy looking conference phone.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly. The UFO in the middle of the table.
Yeah. Put a chair the, here in the front.
The telecom. It's so 90s.
Give the table a little bit of edge there, maybe some legs right here at the end, you can see. So yeah, so Jill, that goes back to, you know, if you're doing a scenario and you need to do perspective drawing of a room, so that's a center dot, everything going to the center, so all of those lines line up to that center dot, and then you can create all kinds of rooms like this. I mean, classrooms, boardrooms, lobbies, kitchens, whatever you need to do for your scenario, then just use that 1-point perspective in the center.
So how would we add like two like stick figures to this space with one that's standing a little bit closer to the whiteboard, and the other one is standing a little bit closer to us.
Okay, so we got somebody standing back here, like this, like that, you know, like that, maybe a little pointer, like this. So they're standing in the background, and then somebody just walking in. And, you know, maybe they've got, you know, hey, I brought the coffee.
They just walked into the shot.
Yeah. As far as the people, you still have to, obviously circles are an entirely different discussion, how to do perspective circles, but you just have to eyeball it, knowing that, you know, the objects in the front, and then maybe there's somebody over here, you know, sitting.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at. So the vanishing point that you created, the dot, becomes useless when you're putting objects into the room, because the object's perspective, does it still vanish at that same dot? So like the people's head, are they vanishing towards that dot too?
Yeah, if you go outside that back wall and you keep going, yeah. So eventually, you know, in the next building down the block, that person's going to look like that, right? Down at the horizon line, because that's the horizon line.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's where things disappear.
Oh, that's right. We put it right on the horizon line. Gotcha. Okay.
That's where things disappear. The vanishing point. That's why it's called vanishing point.
Vanishes. Even if we're not, you know, drawing, as you were putting the characters in, even if, you know, for those of us who are using stock collections, right, you get a room, you get a couple of characters. This helps us make them look realer by figuring out, oh, there's a vanishing point here, and we'll make this buddy smaller and this buddy back here, you know, bigger, which I think we kind of do by instinct, but recognizing that really can even help if you're not actually pen in hand on this sort of practice. Well,
I've seen some very poorly scaled stock art.
Exactly.
There you go, right? So it's whether you actually draw these yourself, it's about having the fundamental understanding of how perspective and how the geometry works, so that when you're compositing your own, you get an idea of like, okay, that doesn't make sense. Where's the vanishing point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm putting my cube back in. I deleted it. I got to put it back in here because we're going to do one more thing. And then come on.
Cool. I was just going to say that would make it for a good tutorial, I think, if somebody wanted to create one of how to effectively scale and place characters onto a scene so that it looks like it's got decent perspective. I think that'd be pretty cool.
There is, we can do that another time, because there is a way when you look at, like if you look at a road with telephone poles, and you see how in the distance.
Oh, yeah. They all look like they blend. Yeah.
Yeah. The telephone poles get smaller as they get farther away. And there was a myth at one point that the next farthest telephone pole is half the distance of the telephone pole before it. And then you just keep dividing that space. But that's not true. So if you do the math, it actually turns out quite differently. So we could do.
Let's not do math.
Like that next time, maybe. Okay, let me put this back in, and then we'll get to our next. We're gonna do. How do you get a shadow? How do I do a shadow on a perspective, 2-point perspective? So let me get rid of my lines here. I got a new pen tip on this pencil too, and it's, in some regards, it's a lot better. In other regards, it's not, doesn't have the same drag as my old one.
I'm just now realizing that this is going to make for a very quiet podcast, and I should kind of be narrating what Kevin is doing.
You know, I forgot about that. Sorry. I would talk more. Okay. So if we think of shadow, right? We have to think of where is our light source, right? So let's say if our light source is up here, then the light's coming this direction, which means the shadow would be this way, right? the shadow would be somewhere over here. So depending on where our light source is, depending on which direction the shadow is going to go. So
how do you figure that out?
Really simple. There's a very simple.
I was hoping you would say that.
So this is going to be our light source right here.
He's drawing a yellow dot in the upper right portion of the screen.
You know, I watched Lego Masters last night, the season opening last night, and it's on Fox, the Fox TV channel.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, we keep the closed captions on anyway, so we keep the volume down, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know if it's just that show, but they started doing audio. So anytime a graphic would come up or they would – where nobody's talking and it would just be a scene where the camera would change. There would be a voice to come and it would actually narrate what you're seeing on the screen. And I thought it was a setting I had on my TV, but in fact, I think the TV series is doing it automatically.
Huh.
So just like you did. So Kevin is drawing a yellow dot with a little sun. Okay. So that's our light source. Light source. I'm writing on the page, light source, next little sun. Tammy says, hi, everyone. And then apologized. Okay, so we draw a vertical line from our light source all the way down to our horizon line. And this, we have another dot. Okay. This is our shadow vantage point. Okay, tracking with me?
Got it.
So just wherever your light source is, doesn't matter where, depending on how you want your light or where it's coming from, that's your source. And then you draw a vertical line from that source down to your horizontal line or your horizon line. Okay? Now, I'm going to use three colors. I'm going to use red just to show you the difference, right? Red, green, and blue. So the first thing we want to do is we've got four corners of our box. One's there, one's there, one's there, and one's there. So we have to think of when light comes from this source, it's not, this is in the back. So this corner back here is in between this one and this one, right? The two outer ones, this one is in between. So this is not going to be, it's irrelevant. You're not going to see that corner in the shadow. The back one, the farthest back one.
Right.
Okay. So what we want to do is come from our light source. And we want to draw a line off of that one corner or one corner. Oh, come on. I have to shoot this down so I can get all the way across. Hang on. There we go. So there's our red one. Now we're going to do a green one. Just to, the colors, I'm just doing the colors to distinguish the different corners. You can use the same color, doesn't matter. And then we'll do a blue one. And we'll come across. Whoop, a little thick. All right. So you see how those three lines come across those three corners. Yeah. Now we're going to do the same thing, but now we're going to use the shadow vanishing point. And we're going to correspond to the same corner. So whatever this corner is, the corresponding corner is at the bottom of those three corners. So this one would come across here. And our green one would come across here.
Oh, would you looky that.
I'm having a light bulb go off. Get it. I know.
All of a sudden.
Oh, we got that one. And then our last one is blue. And we'll come across this way. There we go. Now, what do I do with all that? I'm going to change this to a dark color so we can see what's going on. So now I just follow the line The shadow is going to come right here from this corner. And wherever that intersects, right? So now I'm going to, right where that intersects, I draw a line to that intersection.
Yeah.
Then I draw a line to this intersection. And then this line back to that corner. And this all gets filled in.
That is awesome.
Now the other thing with light is light takes another, you know, hours of practice to get light down. So that's our shadow. So we also kind of, if we think about this, the backside of this box is going to be a little darker. The top of the box is getting direct sunlight or direct light, so it would be the lightest color. And this is getting what's called, there's a number of different terms, alternate light, superficial light, whatever you want to call it. But it's getting sunlight, but not as dark as the shadow light. There you go.
Yep, wow.
Box of shadow. Like so. And then
it's that easy.
It is that easy. So here's what it looks like if you did like different types of shapes and practiced. So this is kind of one of those examples of just draw a bunch of boxes and different shapes and practice those lines, and that's what it ends up looking like.
Get your rulers out, gang.
That is awesome. I love
it. Cool. I mean, we see shadows all the time. We see stuff around us. But until you try to make something look real on a surface, a paper or an iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know, eh?
Yeah, yeah. We try to sketch it from memory, and it's not always quite as effective as we'd like it to be.
No kidding. Kevin, that's so very cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I know it was last minute idea, but that was fun. Opens up a world of possibilities.
As we dance on out of here, Kevin, drop your contact info into the chat in case folks want to reach out to you or connect with you on LinkedIn or wherever you want them to find you. Very cool.
And everybody can join us on LinkedIn at our idiotic group.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Seek us out there. Join us. We post lots of follow-up stuff and also the Domino blog. On the website, www.domino.com. Gang, thanks so much for joining us this week. Let's dance on out.
Let's do it.